Thank you. We rejoice in coming to you again, and we're following through in the names of God. Our last lesson we had Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Now we come to one that is very, very precious, and that is Jehovah Ra, R-A-A-H, Jehovah Ra, and this is found in the 23rd Psalm, where we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's a wonderful thing to have a shepherd, isn't it? Now we find that in the 22nd Psalm, the revelation of Jesus Christ as the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, which is comparable to John chapter 10. And then in the 23rd Psalm, he is the great shepherd who cares for his sheep. And this, of course, is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 20, where we read that now the great shepherd, the God of peace, that great shepherd of the sheep, the one who through the blood of the everlasting covenant make you perfect to do his will and so on. And then in the 24th Psalm, there is given to us the chief shepherd, the one who went back to glory as the chief shepherd. And you remember in 1 Peter chapter 5, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory. Or you take John chapter 21, after the resurrection of our Lord, you have the chief shepherd giving instructions to Peter, one of his under-shepherds. So I'd like to repeat that again. In Psalm 22, he is the good shepherd who died for us. There you've got the prophetic picture of the crucifixion of our Savior. In the 23rd Psalm, he is the great shepherd who cares for us. In 24, he is the exalted shepherd, the chief shepherd, the one who was caring for us, yes, directing us, yes, giving instructions, yes, but also the one who is going to come and perfect his own work. Now, let us go for a few moments. I can't resist this, because when we come to the 23rd Psalm, a psalm which so many enjoy and has been a rich blessing to God's people down through the centuries, there's something about this that really gets a hold of one's heart. The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd. I always think of the fourth chapter of Genesis. I read that Abel was a keeper of sheep, and the Lord has never lost one. Do you remember in John chapter 10, he could say, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall in no wise ever perish. Neither shall anyone plunder them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to plunder them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So I'm going to take the time. I hadn't planned to do this, but I think I'll take the time. Because so many Christians are going through times of great stress, and there's a tremendous need for us to have a peace and a joy, even in the midst of adverse circumstances. And I know I'm talking to some this morning who really need the comfort of one who is the great shepherd. I shall not take up time for the moment concerning our Lord as the good shepherd. I will come to John chapter 10 and deal with that. But first of all, I want to take the 23rd Psalm to stay in the Old Testament. And here we have just six verses full of the wonderful truth that the Lord is my shepherd. It's a personal thing. Jehovah is my shepherd. Jehovah Ra. He belongs to me. He's my shepherd. And a shepherd always takes care of his sheep. So in the first three verses, you have the sufficiency. He's sufficient for every need. The object of our faith, he becomes the one sufficient for every need. Let me just suggest it. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. By the way, friend, can you honestly say the Lord is your shepherd? the eternal living God is your shepherd? You see, there must be personal trust in him. When one comes as a sinner and accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, you not only become a child of God, but you become a member of his flock. And he becomes your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, how I revel in this. The Lord Jehovah, the eternal God, is my shepherd. I belong to him. And he belongs to me. This wonderful relationship between the eternal God and those who put their trust in him. So we can say the Lord is my shepherd. Very, very personal. And because of that, I shall not want. I like what the little fellow said in Sunday school when the teacher said, "Will you please quote the first verse of the 23rd Psalm?" He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I should worry." That's the way a boy would say it, isn't it? But how wonderful, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. No room for worry, no room for fretfulness, no room for being down in the dumps. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He takes care of us. When we come to the 10th chapter of John, we'll see some of that. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, not dried out pastures, green pastures. All that we might get into the Word of God, because the pastures are always green. They're never dried up. See, why, Mr. Mitchell, I've read the Bible, and it's such a dry book. No, friend, it's not the book that's dry, it's you. It's an amazing thing. One can read the Bible over and over and over again and study it for 50 years, and you haven't yet begun to enter the joys and the marvels and the wonders that God has in store for us, revealed in the book. He maketh me to lie down. That's rest. That's peace. Green pastures. Contentment. See? And he leadeth me beside the still waters. Not the troubled waters. Not the rushing waters. Beside the still waters. Again, you have the thought of peace, of being at rest. And then, supposing I do fail God, he restoreth my soul. My, how he loves his people. And even when we fail him, and I'm not, by the way, I'm not trying to rationalize this and find an excuse for all our failures. What I'm just saying is this, he loves you so much. My, he loves you so much. Even when you fail him, doesn't affect his love, so that when you turn to him, he's always ready, more than you are, always ready to restore you. And I read here, he restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I tell you, he not only forgives us and cleanses us and restores us, but he guides us every step of the way. And you remember, he uses the word to do this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And John 16 tells me that the Spirit of God will direct us and lead us and guide us into all truth. The only thing is this, we don't take the time to get into the Word of God and enjoy the pastures and enjoy what he has for us. I wish in some way I could put in words just the way I feel about this 23rd Psalm. You know, it just gets right down into my vitals. To think that God can pick up hell-deserving sinners like you and me and not only transform us, but he restores us when we fail him. And he leads us and he guides us. And we have peace, we have contentment, we have hope, which gives us courage to go on with him. So we have a shepherd who's all-sufficient. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, again, ask the question, friend, is he really your shepherd? Is he really your shepherd? And have you experienced that wonderful peace to lie down in green pastures, be beside the still waters, and even when you do fail him and because of weaknesses and frailty, and sometimes unbelief. He's always ready to forgive and to cleanse. And then you have verses 4 to 5, the fact that he's always with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why? Well, because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now listen, this fourth verse is not dealing with people who are dying. When a child of God dies, he goes right into the very presence of God. No, we, all of us, are in the valley of the shadow of death. Death reigns today. Death reigns today. I tell you, my friend, I know that. As a pastor for a great many years in the city of Portland, and having laid to one side hundreds of God's people, and I'm not exaggerating when I say hundreds, death reigns today, whether rich or poor, strong or weak, old or young, makes no difference who you are, wise or ignorant, death reigns today. We are in the valley of the shadow of death. There's not a day goes by you're not too sure you're going to live through the day. You don't know. You don't know. I don't know. We're in the valley of the shadow of death. But we'll fear no evil as we walk this earth, which is under the shadow of death, where death reigns. He comforts me. I fear no evil. His rod, his staff, they comfort us. Why? Because he said, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And then he goes on to say, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Right in the midst of my enemies, he satisfies me. Surrounded by opposition, unbelief, uncertainty, chaos, moral corruption, you name it. We fear no evil. He prepares a table for us. He satisfies us. He meets our every need. And even when we get bruised, and sometimes we get bruised because of other Christians, and sometimes we become bruised through the world, he anoints my head with oil. He puts on the balm of Gilead, and it soothes us. Instead of getting bitter and sour and nasty, he comes in and he puts his hand on us and he pours upon us the oil of gladness. He anoints our head with oil. The cup runs over. God always gives you an abundant supply. I tell you, isn't it wonderful to have a Savior like that? Now we come to the last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Can I change that? Surely goodness and mercy has chased after me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a prospect! What a hope! What for? To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy has chased after us all our days. And then what? Our hope, we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I feel like saying to people, What are your plans? Well, I'm going to do this, and then what? Well, then I'm going to do this, and then what? And there's got to be an end to it, doesn't there? There doesn't need to be an end to it. David here says, goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life. And don't tell me, my friend, he didn't have his problems. When he was chased like a partridge among the hills, when both King Saul sought to kill him and afterwards Absalom sought to kill him, he was opposed, kicked out of his own house and so on, and yet he could say, goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One is reminded of the 27th Psalm, the 4th verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after. What is that? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to abide in his temple. You see, the great yearning of the heart The Lord is my shepherd, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, friend, again I come back and ask you the question, is Jesus Christ your shepherd? Your shepherd? He can be. You know, John chapter 10 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He died that you might be saved. He died that you might live. And if Jesus Christ is not your shepherd, if Jehovah Ra is not your shepherd, and my friend, you need one. You need one. In all the tests and trials of life, not only that, but when you leave this world, then what? Then what? Isn't it wonderful to be able to go right into the very presence of the one who loves you? Isn't it wonderful that when one accepts the Savior, he not only enjoys forgiveness and eternal life and a relationship with God, but we leave this scene and go right into the very presence of the one who is our shepherd, who loved us enough, not only to die for us, but to care for us. That's why I'm going to go into my next lesson on Jehovah Ra, and I'm going to ask you to read something for me, for yourself. You read the 10th chapter of the Gospel through John. Now, you all know that's the shepherd chapter. I do that because of what I've been doing in these studies. Go to the Old Testament and get the name of God in the revelation of what he is. And then go to the New Testament and find it all fulfilled in our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So will you take that 23rd Psalm again and remember it, will you? He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful shepherd who has given to us a wonderful, wonderful hope. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the Lord being my shepherd, he's sufficient for every need. He never leaves me nor forsakes me for a moment. Right from the time I accepted the Savior, right through till I stand in his presence, conformed to the image of his Son. And then he gives to us this wonderful prospect, this wonderful hope. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I come again, my friend, and ask you the question, is Jesus Christ your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? He can be, if you will just receive him into your own heart and life as your own personal Savior. And I'll tell you, my friend, how can one live today in our present day society with its corruption and lawlessness and rebellion and not have a peace, not have a hope, not have an all-sufficient God? So I would plead with you. You remember Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So I'd plead with your heart to accept him as your own personal Savior today. And then for you who are Christians, why don't you revel in this? The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd. Personal, as if you are the only one in God's universe, the only one on earth, he still would be your shepherd if you receive him as your Savior. Now you do that today.